Welcome to Kingdom. A story by Ollie Francis. Episode 6. Blackstripe. The rocks that littered the far side of Cold Mountain cut into Blackstripe's pads like thorns. Every step caused a cascade of shingle to wash away the ground before him, stones slipping down to the desert below like water, and the wolf frequently found his feet lost beneath the rapids, plunging down to where the sharp edges lay waiting in the deep. It had been a difficult journey across the Starkist Pass. The ice and snow of the mountain hid the path from both sight and scent. It was sheer luck the pack had found their way across the peak, spending the night shivering under the milk light of stars unable to sleep. They travelled mostly during the day, cautious of the ravines that lay hidden beneath deceptive drifts of snow that offered sure footing where none was to be had. More than once they had fallen, tumbling into the ice shelves below. Redrun had taken the hardest fall, and the pack had doubled back on themselves to reach a point where the lower and upper pass met so that they could be reunited. She had been limping ever since. But finally the snows had grown thinner, until the frozen rock of the mountainside began to blossom in patches beneath their feet. For a day or so the going had been easy. There had even been grass in places, saxifrage and storkspill poking out from among the boulders, tinting the scentscape with flavours beyond mere granite. Droppings hidden in the shadows of larger rocks confirmed the traces of mountain rabbit that tickled their noses on the breeze. There were no bloodwoods this side of Cold Mountain, no trees at all, and the wolves were hungry. It was Snowbelly who made the kill, returning to their resting place with two conies in her jaws, dropping them down before Blackstripe so he could divide up the meal. He checked the skins for a mark. "They're wild," Snowbelly signed, sharing a picture of how she had checked each rabbit's fur before shaking the life from its body. Sure enough, the hides were unmarked, though Blackstripe wasn't sure he cared at this point. This far from home, it didn't matter if the prey was blood-marked or not. There were no other beasts here to enforce the law of the Bloodwood. And besides, they had to eat, or they'd turn on each other. Blackstripe had seen what hunger blight could do to a pack. It was not something he wished to see again. The meat had been small, shared between eight. None of the others caught a whiff of any more prey. Just these two rabbits, making a life for themselves here at the edge of the world. What drove them to run from the safety of the Bloodwoods? What dreams forced them across the mountain? In a way, Blackstripe envied their freedom as he crunched their marrow from the bone. The rabbits could live off the flora that littered the mountainside, descending slowly into that simple stupor without the violence that haunted the hunger blight of sharp-toothed creatures. Gradually the rabbits' thoughts would slip away from them, as the blessing of the blood fruit slowly drained itself from their system. Could take months, a year even, but eventually their world would be nothing more than food and shelter. No other worries to think of, no disgrace, no shame to weigh them down, no understanding of what had been lost. He wondered how long these rabbits had been here. Hoped it had been long enough. Their guide, the lumbering buzzard named Left Leg Broken, was nowhere to be seen. The mad bird had disappeared in a snowstorm 2 days before and hadn't been seen since. One less mouth to feed, thought Blackstripe. It was partly the buzzard's absence that had caused the pack to stray so far from the path. Left leg broken had been invaluable in keeping them heading in the right direction. But without her screams wheeling overhead, Blackstripe was less confident of their progress. And, if he was honest, he had no idea where they were. They had left the strip of life clinging to the mountainside that morning without the bird, and headed down the slope towards the wide desert below, stretching still and silent to the sky's edge. But the going hadn't been easy for long. Boulders turned to rocks, which turned to pebbles, then to shale, and again the wolves had to watch where they stepped. This time it was not a drop that hid below the snowy surface, but the claws of stone that sliced and scratched at their paws. This was not the way they were meant to have come. Blackstripe took a moment to lick the tiny wounds that scored his paws and waited for the others to catch up. Shadowtop was the nearest, having stuck close to the path Blackstripe had pioneered. The rest were further back, scattered among the stones and all of them failing to find a way any safer than the one he had taken. But it was Redrun who concerned him most. She was still reluctant to put weight on her right foreleg. The desert would be death for her. Shadowtop drew up next to him. "We're leaving a blood trail," she signed. Blackstripe moved his feet and saw his own blood smeared on the loose stones. "It's a shame the rocks are so unstable," signed Shadowtop. "It would make it easier to track our way home." Blackstripe turned away. "Where's your damn bird?" he signed. Shadowtop scanned the skies. The two-toned wolf had known Left Leg Broken for years, nursing the buzzard back to health when she had found it delirious and unable to fly not far from Northwood's southern border. Only the gods know why she had taken the thing in, but it did mean she had learned to decode the bird's cryptic riddles. The sign words of all birds were changeable as the wind, and meaning melted into metaphor like blood in water. But Shadowtop and the bird understood each other in a way that Blackstripe had never seen before. It was one step away from magic. The two of them had fought alongside each other in the Stag's War, the bird giving them vital intel on the enemy's movements as the hordes had closed in. The bird, not being a blood-marked creature itself, had been scarce soon after Highwood was taken, only returning to Shadowtop's side once they left the Bloodwood's borders. Blackstripe himself cared nothing for the bird, making little effort to understand the sign words that made no sense even as Shadowtop translated them before him. But still, he wished he could hear the creature's call now. "He'll find us," signed Shadowtop. "I'll wring his neck when he does," signed Blackstripe, a little harder than he had intended. He swallowed a growl that tried to escape his throat. 2 days without a guide, and only the gods knew where they were. Damn that bird. At the back of the pack, Redrun slipped on her 3 legs and a torrent of stones clattered down the hillside. "You think she'll last?" signed Shadowtop, sending him a picture of the journey ahead, an image of rock and heat and unending thirst. "She'll last if I tell her to," signed Blackstripe. He had had enough of Shadowtop's pictures of the desert. The way she said the bird described it, the desert was nothing but rock and sand until sunrise. No beasts stalked the dunes, no plants, no insects even. Nothing but dry earth and rock sea. The desert was death, right to the edges of their destination. There had been a time when any creature bold enough could traverse the silken sands to reach the forest of the gods. There were songs that said that Sarfor, the wandering god of Southwood, rode the lightning to travel to the Bloodwoods and back in an instant, carrying the souls of the worthy on his back. The gods may have travelled the desert faster than thought, but any animal could walk the sands between this world and the next. The heroes of yesterday could be reached within half a day. The wisdom of one's own ancestors sought from their very mouths before returning home in time for nightfall. But the desert had grown tired of the many feet that trod its surface, and the distance between worlds had grown until the forest of the gods disappeared entirely, leaving nothing behind but the unending sands. And so the gods grew tired of walking, and the world settled into an echo of what it once had been, remembered only in dance and God's song. The gods should have taken their songs with them, thought Blackstrap. It had been a God's song that had convinced Greypaw, the last king, that something lay there beyond the eastern desert. The great bear of Highwood believed the childish dances and had collected them from every bloodwood in the kingdom, commissioning whole teams of dancers to keep the songs alive. He'd consulted songsmiths and green seers alike to uncover what secrets lay hidden within the sign words. It was a project that cost him both his reputation and any chance of returning his family to their rightful place. It was how the three-horned usurper had managed to banish the Northwood wolf and the others on this fool's errand. The stag had set his challenge to root out those who might remain faithful to Highwood's former family. "Find the gods," he commanded the bear's old guard. "Find their forest and bring them walking." With that, he had spared their lives, but doomed them all the same. If Blackstripe were to have refused the stag's decree, he would have shown a lack of faith in the true king and disobedience towards the pretender who now held the bloodwood tree of Highwood. Both were impossible for a sworn wolf of the kingdom. His own honour had forbidden him from every path but this. May the gods damn them all. So, here he was, leading this pack of runts to their dry deaths in search of a place that only existed in song and fantasy. Not for one heartbeat did he believe that the bird had been there, no matter how convinced Shadowtop was of the creature's sincerity. Still, he found himself longing for the buzzard's return. Bloodfur was next to draw up alongside Blackstripe and Shadowtop. He was the biggest of the pack, fur red as his sister's, and although he stood a head taller than even Blackstripe, he had yet to use his size for anything beyond hard intimidation. He looked between the both of them and then back to the stragglers. "Are we stopping?" "Your sister is limping," signed Shadowtop. Bloodfur checked Redstripe's progress and turned back to Blackstripe. "Are we stopping?" he repeated. "Your sister..." began Shadowtop, but Blackstripe quelled her anger with a rumble from his throat. "No," he sighed. "We are not stopping. Take the lead, Bloodfur. Stop when you reach the end of the shale." Shadowtop turned her head away so she would not see Bloodfur look down at her as he lumbered past to continue down the slope. "That one will be trouble," she sighed, small enough that only Blackstripe could see. "And his sister won't keep up when we reach the desert."
"I know,"
signed Blackstrap.
"You should have made him wait," she signed.
"No," signed Blackstrap. "I want him at the head of the pack, where he can't interfere." He began to climb back up the slope. It wasn't long before he passed Snowbelly, agile as a hare, and Two Toes, whose webbed feet seemed to give her an advantage on the uneven ground. He waved them on, and did the same a little later for Mudface when he scrambled by. When Nightfoot came slipping close, Blackstripe signed for the half-pup to turn and walk with him. The young wolf was the smallest of the group, and eager to prove himself, volunteering for every open duty Blackstripe put forward, though Blackstripe had often ignored the half-pup's signals, forcing him to stay with the main group while the others were sent ahead on scouting duties. Nightfoot skipped lightly behind Blackstripe as they made their way higher up the slope, happy to have finally been chosen by the aging alpha. In a moment they were back with Redrun, who stood catching her breath, watching them approach with her head and ears slung low.
"I'm fine," signed the earth-red wolf as they drew up before her. "I need a moment to catch my breath, that's all."
"You are to stay at the base of the mountain," signed Blackstripe. "Don't enter the desert. Scout the grass slopes above and find the path home."
"I'm not going home," Redrun signed dismissively and continued hobbling down the slope.
Blackstripe shared a quick image with Nightfoot. The half-pup straightened with surprise and did nothing, and Blackstripe had to give the picture again before he obeyed. The young wolf skittered before Redrun, blocking her way. A nod from Blackstripe set him growling, the threat gentler than Blackstripe would have preferred.
"Out of my way, cub,"
signed Redrun. Nightfoot doubled his growl.
"Tell this child to get out of my way before he gets hurt," signed Redrun,
without taking her eyes from the young wolf.
"I told you, I'm not going home."
"I haven't ordered you home," signed Blackstripe. "I ordered you to stay here and find the path."
"Find your own path,"
signed Redrun, moving on Nightfoot with teeth bared. Blackstripe was on her in a heartbeat, barging Nightfoot out of the way and knocking Redrun to the ground, his jaws around her neck. Redrun yelped, and the other wolves further down the mountain turned to see. Bloodfur was far ahead of the rest of the pack, but his sister's cry sent him running up the slope, his barks and snarls hollow in the empty air of the hillside. The unstable shale slowed him down, and he was slipping back before he'd even reached Shadowtop. Still, he continued, wild with anger at the stones sliding beneath his claws. Blackstripe sent Nightfoot a picture of where to hold Redrun, and the young wolf matched the points precisely. He was much lighter than the red wolf, and still far from his grown weight, but Redrun's injuries had sapped her strength. She was helpless beneath his grip. Below them, Bloodfur had reached Snowbelly, scuffling past her as the loosened rocks lifted a tail of dust behind him. Blackstripe put himself where Redrun could see him clearly and made his sign words slow and simple.
"You will stay here because I have told you to stay here," he signed. "But you will not take the starkest path on your own. You will wait for us until the next cycle of the moon. Only then will you return to the king to tell him of our failure. In the meantime, hunt for us. Find the rabbit holes. Scout their runs. If we return from the desert, we will be hungry. There's nothing out there, if the birds to be believed. By the time we find our way back to the mountain, we may be too weak to hunt ourselves. We will need you then, and the store that you will have collected for us. You must stay. You must heal. Get strong. If you do not, then we may all die out there. You want to see home again, don't you? Well..."
The sound of blood fur was easy to hear now. The scattering of loose stones from where he struggled up the slope was closer. Blackstripe signalled for Nightfoot to let go. Redrun immediately snapped at his throat, but the young wolf was quick and leapt out of range. Blackstripe growled back her attention.
"So, you either obey my words and stay, or I kill you here and now and find someone else to do the job," he signed.
Redrun bared her teeth, but her snarl was not as certain now. She glanced down towards her brother climbing towards them. He'd passed Mudface now. No other wolf stood between him and them.
"You'll be dead before he gets here," signed Blackstripe, touching his mark.
He crouched into a pounce, readying himself. The shingle would make the fight harder, and he would have to be quick if he was to take her alone before the brother arrived. There was no chance Nightfoot would be any help, not against Redrun and certainly not against her brother. The best thing the young wolf could do was to stay out of the way. Blackstripe would have to kill them both himself. But if he waited much longer, Bloodfur would be upon him, and any chances of victory against both of them together at the same time was slim. He would have to act soon. He would have to act now. A moment of doubt passed over Redrun's eyes. Blackstripe made himself wait a heartbeat longer.
"Come on," he thought, listening as Bloodfur's feet slipped ever closer. "Submit, submit."
Blackstripe could wait no longer. He found his grip upon the stones, but then Redrun's snarl relaxed. Her head dropped, and her tail hid itself between her legs. She dropped to her side and showed him her soft underbelly. Bloodfur was still charging up the hill. Blackstripe forced himself out of his attack pose. He stepped closer to Redrun and lay his head lightly on hers, feeling her breathing hard and fast beneath him. He drew Nightfoot's attention with a gentle grunt.
"Stay with her," he signed.
"Make sure she doesn't follow. If we're not back within 2 moons, find the starkest path and take her home." Nightfoot gave a whimper of disappointment. He'd just been made useful for the first time, and now he was also being asked to stay behind? To miss out on this one final chance of glory?
Blackstripe felt the young wolf's sense of betrayal tug at him, begging him to reconsider. But the desert was no place for either the injured or the young. It was no place for any of them. He glanced at Redrun to see if she understood her own part in keeping Nightfoot from the dangers of the desert. Redwolf was no happier about the arrangement than the youngster, the both of them clawing naively for some final chance of glory. But she gave him the sign of understanding before turning her head away in shame. Blackstripe left them both and restarted his descent down the hillside. The rocks had grown no blunter since the last time he had passed them by. A few steps below, Bloodfur came to a complete stop, panting heavily as he sought stable footing for the fight, back arched high. Blackstripe ignored his threat and continued on, stifling a wince as a rock bit into the soft pad of his paw. Bloodfur looked up at Redrun, but his sister would not meet his gaze. A moment of confusion passed over his face. Another few steps and Blackstripe was level with him. Bloodfur's snarl had vanished. He glanced back and forth between his sister and his pack leader, unsure what to do. Blackstripe lifted his forepaw and licked the blood from his pad. He wished a thing would stop throbbing so much. "I thought I told you to take the lead," he signed to Bloodfur, and continued on, down, down towards the eternal sands, and whatever fate they held. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.